You're listening to the award-winning Open Mic Show. The views, ideas, and thoughts shared by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of WTSN AM 1270 or Garrison City Broadcasting.
WTSN AM 1270, number one for news, talk, and sports on the Seacoast. This is Open Mic, the Seacoast's only local talk show. Call us now at 603-742-1270 or toll-free 888-441-WTSN. Now, here's your host, Mike Pomp.
Good morning, Seacoast, and welcome to another edition of WTSN's Open Mic. 742-1270 and toll-free 1-888-441-WTSN. 1-888-441-9876. We welcome you to the program. Email's available as well. It's Mike, M-I-K-E, at WTSNAM1270.com. Our program on this Wednesday, March 2nd, 2011, brought to you by The Maids, the most thorough house cleaning service on the planet, serving coastal New Hampshire, the Manchester area, and southern Maine. In fact, you can call them up and find out what they can do for you at 603-964-1633. That's 603-964-1633. They've cleaned my home. I suggest that you give them a shot and have them clean yours. All right, 15 minutes after 11 o'clock on WTSN. Joining us this morning here to talk about a very interesting issue and a very complicated issue as well. We're talking about retirement reform, pension reform in the state of New Hampshire. We're going to speak to Dave Lang, who joins us. Dave is a frequent contributor to our program. We've known Dave over the years. He's the president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, and good to see you again, my friend. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happening at the State House in Concord, because there are things that obviously affect your union and the people that are in the system as far as state workers, things like that. Back in November, I mean, the message that I think the legislature or that the voters gave to the people of New Hampshire was that they wanted to cut spending. Back on November 2nd, Republicans took control. You know, it's about 300 to 100 as far as the New Hampshire representatives go, 19-5 majority for the Republicans over the Democrats in the New Hampshire Senate. And Governor John Lynch, some people say that he doesn't have a lot of say in what happens now in these next couple of years, almost like a lame duck governor. I don't think he is, but he's lost a lot of his veto power because of the majorities in the New Hampshire House of Representatives. And Dave, I think you'll agree with me that the people that won those elections, and most of them were Republicans in the state of New Hampshire, so the legislature has a whole different look to it, they ran on, you know, trying to create jobs, trying to get the economy back in action, but they also wanted to cut government spending. They wanted to, the government to live within their means. Now we have this talk about reform in the retirement system, reform in the pension system. Senator Jeb Bradley of Wolfboro has put together this bill. He's the prime sponsor of Senate Bill 3. And it talks about the retirement system and pension reform. And obviously it affects your organization, the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, and state workers and people who are going to be into that system. Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, for our listeners who aren't familiar with your organization, you are the president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, what that organization is and what they stand for and what they sort of do.
Mike, we represent approximately 2,000 active and retired firefighters and paramedics. Covering 43 local unions, we protect 85% of the population in the state of New Hampshire. Our job is to make sure that from a public perspective that we get the firefighters and paramedics the tools under which they need, number one, to do their job, and then two, to make sure that that being a firefighter is a profession, it's compensated as a profession, and there's a responsibility that goes with it. We take our responsibility very seriously.
Yeah. And how many people did you say are in the system now, roughly?
In the whole New Hampshire retirement system, there's about 72,000 active and retired workers, 52,000 active workers. That covers state employees, teachers, police officers, and firefighters. And then there's about 20-something thousand retirees.
Okay. Now, with the political philosophy that's in Concord nowadays, with this whole idea of cutting back and trying to save and not put so much on the property tax owners of New Hampshire, comes this particular bill, SB 3, from Senator Jeb Bradley of Wolfboro, as we said. And let's talk a little bit about this as basic as we can so our listeners can understand this and follow this, because it gets kind of convoluted with some of the numbers and the years involved. And then let's talk a little bit about what your organization is proposing as well. And that's what's created this debate here. This bill, from what I understand, will change the way retirements are paid out, correct? And obviously will change pension plans. Which obviously affects people that have worked all their lives in your business.
That's correct, Mike. It dramatically affects pensions moving forward, as well as for the pensioners that are currently out there, those retirees that are on a fixed income. I need to just tell you right up front and your listeners that when a firefighter or a police officer works for their entire career, they do not pay into Social Security. So when they retire, they do not get Social Security. Matter of fact, if they retire and they go to work and pay their quarters in, they get a Social Security benefit, but it's only at 40% because they have a bona fide pension system. That was something that was created by the federal government. In the fire service, when I first went on, we had a theory that said to every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction that occurs. And in this case here, when you begin to look at the promises that were made to these individual employees, both active and retired, you have to understand when you do one thing, the opposite may happen, and you're not going to help. An example of that was in 1990, when we were just coming out of a recession the last time. The legislature decided, in its infinite wisdom, that it was going to change the way in which we funded our pensions. They purposefully underfunded. Matter of fact, they lowered the employer contributions to a very dangerously low level. Now, the employers didn't say anything because it was a good deal for them. It was cheaper to belong to the New Hampshire retirement system for about a 10-year period than it was to pay into Social Security. Social Security is 6.2%. So you can't have a partnership with employees and employers where one side pays, the employee, the other side, the employer, doesn't pay, and then when the bill comes, not want to pay and transfer that responsibility. We believe Senate Bill 3 is transferring that responsibility.
So back in the 90s, employers were able to pay less into the system, if I understand that correctly?
Yeah, the approximate bill that was due was over $80 million, and they chose a funding methodology that reduced it down to 30-something million. That was a $51 million cut that they made on paper. Basically, they said, we'll let the next generation worry about it. Well, now the next generation is here, and they don't want to pay. And that's one of the things that's coming up that you hear a lot of debate about. I know one thing. The public really trusts firefighters, police officers, teachers, and public employees, that we are public employees. We're not the public enemy. We don't want to do anything that's going to break that trust. Now, therefore, with that, we think that it's important and incumbent upon them to know that their employees had a promise made to them with their retirement benefit. We know that the public is hurting. We know that some folks have lost their jobs and had to work 2 and 3 jobs. We're no different than that. And that's why we've come to the table with some suggestions as to how we think, moving forward, we can provide predictability and cost for the employer while giving a fair benefit for retirees 30 and 40 years later for the public sector workers.
The way it is right now for a firefighter, how long do they have to work before they can take advantage of their retirement?
Currently, they get 50% of their average final compensation averaged over 3 years if they work 20 years of service, age 45. That's the minimum. Now, I just retired with 30 years of service in the fire service. Went on in 1980. Made $4.60 an hour as a firefighter when I came on in 1980. So we understood coming in, but remember now, the times are different today than they were in 1980, and that we think the public wants us to change those rules with respect to that pension, and we agree with them and are willing to do that and want to help. When I came on, it was before you had a lot of breathing apparatus. You know, we put on the air tank and go into a building. It was back in the old, what we called the leather lungers, where they put the lucky strike in their mouth and they hit the third floor, and they didn't live long after they retired. Well, now technology is such that they've changed that. Firefighters and police officers are healthier, they're living longer, and therefore we think that they can work longer and we think they can work older. And that's one of the things that we're coming to the table with, a strong plan. Matter of fact, the governor has included that plan in his budget, which will save property taxpayers over $1.5 billion in a 20-year period, over a 20-year period. We think that's helpful. By the way, at the same time, closing the funded liability, closing that hole that everybody hears about.
Let's talk a little bit about the distinct differences that are in the Senate Bill 3. And first of all, this has been debated already. Is this coming up for a vote very shortly, or is this coming up to just the debates a part? Right?
Well, it's coming up to the debate part. The Senate had testimony last Friday, mm-hmm. in which it had 4 hours of public testimony, and now it's going to go into the discussion and debate phase.
Okay. So it may be coming up to a vote very shortly.
Yeah, we had anticipated it is.
Okay. So talk a little bit about SB3, what it cuts and what you are not, what you think is from your organization, from the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, what you think is unfair to your union.
Well, we think it's unfair to a lot of folks, not only just the union, but to the public as well. I mean, the public made these promises to these employees through their elected officials. And we think to change that. I mean, one of the changes would take a police officer, a firefighter with 10 years or less, and dramatically change the way in which their pension is calculated. We think, number one, it's unconstitutional on its face that there was a promise made at the beginning. How do you tell a police officer, a firefighter with 9 and a half years on the job, who's ready to hit the 10-year period, and say, well, we're going to change that benefit on you? It was okay yesterday. I mean, you did what you were supposed to do. You came to work, and you did a really good job. But now, you know, it's a day later, and we're going to change that on you.
Can you give me an actual, like, a numerical example of how that would work?
Well, it would take them and have them work from 25 instead of 20 and age 45, which is the benefit that they've been paying for and were promised, and say, you're going to have to work 25 and 50. You will average your pension instead of 3 years over 5 years. You would have to take less of a benefit there. You'd also not get the half pay at the 20-year mark. You would actually get less. You'd get half pay at the 25-year mark. So we think that that breaks that promise that that really doesn't uphold constitutional muster. It's a law that's being passed which would cause retrospective harm to this group of workers.
When you say break the promise to workers was that this is how much you're going to pay and this is how much you have to work.
A lot of folks came in the fire service and the police service, especially after September 11th, not only because they wanted to serve their community, which they do, but also because of the pension benefit. I mean, in some cases, like when I came on, I mean, the pension benefit was one of the attractions that I came on. At $4.60 an hour was not a lot of money back then in 1980 when I came on. So therefore, some of these changes will cause some significant problems, not only for our members, but also legislatively. The last thing we want to do is to see people that are in a governing position to pass laws that don't meet constitutional muster. I mean, we just saw that with some laws just recently with the JUA, and we just don't want to see that. We saw a lot of news on that, a lot of media, a lot of folks said, you can't do that, it's going to be unconstitutional, and there's a lot of comparisons here and a lot of similarities.
We're speaking to Dave Lang, who's president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire. We're talking specifically about Senate Bill 3 in the New Hampshire Senate, in the legislature, proposed and officially sponsored by Senator Jeb Bradley of District 3 out of Wolfboro. If you have a comment or a question or you want to chime in on this, or maybe you're part of this, and it affects you directly, we'd like to hear from you as well at 742-1270 and toll-free 1-888-441-WTSN. We will open up to phone calls if you'd like to join us on that as well. When you look at this particular bill, the bill itself, I mean, they're trying to cut back money in the government. I mean, is that what this bill is trying to do specifically? I mean, people will say, well, okay, Dave, everyone's got to try to cut back in these economic times. So if you guys cut back a little bit, you're still getting your pension, you're still getting your retirement, maybe not as much, and maybe you have to work a couple of extra years or whatever it might be. But is it all with the end result of saying that Concord's trying to save some money somewhere so it doesn't throw down on the property taxpayers, doesn't result on more higher property taxes?
And then that's accurate. And it's one of the questions that was asked for me recently is why should property taxpayers have to pay this bill? And the answer is simple, is because that's where the money comes from for public employees. We're public workers. They pay our salaries.
Right.
And in this state, the only revenue source of any significance is through property taxes. Now, you got an interesting dynamic out here, which is probably for about 7 more shows for yourself, but you've got this discussion about how do we make government less, and how do we do that without having to honor the promise that we've made? And then how do we do that if we put tax caps in? And how do we do that in Senate Bill 2 communities? And how do we do that when we start saying no? I mean, I think it's a fair political discussion as to what size fire department someone has. I mean, if someone asked me, Dave, what's an adequate fire department? What's an adequate response for a house fire? I can give them empirical data and tell them. But they're the ones at the local community level who decide whether they want that service or not. And once they want it and they pay for it, they have to pay all the associated costs that go with that, because that was the decision that they made. This is like taking a mortgage on a house, and you buy a house at $300,000, and your mortgage payment is $50 a month. And at the end, you have a balloon payment, and that balloon payment is $200,000. 30 years later, the $200,000 is due, and you say, I don't want to pay it, so take my house. And in this case here, it's just unfair for, to say to police officers and firefighters and teachers, we took the benefit of it. We had a period of time where we didn't pay. We know we didn't. They easily admit to that. But now we don't want to pay, so we want to shift responsibility to the employee.
Interesting. 742-1270 and toll-free 1-888-441-WTSN. Dave Lang is our guest on this Wednesday edition of Open Mic, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire. He's been a frequent contributor over the years on our program. Always nice to see Dave. And this is a very interesting issue, very complicated with some of the numbers sometimes, but we want to know how you feel about this, if this affects you directly, if it affects you indirectly. And would it affect taxpayers even indirectly, but doesn't affect them personally through the retirement system itself?
Well, their costs have gone up a little bit since they changed that funding methodology to the one that I told you about that shifted the cost to a next generation. They now have, 3 years ago, a pay-as-you-go system. So when you hear about pension reform, it's already been done. You know, the time now is to leave it alone and let it work. I mean, when you have an $11 billion responsibility, I mean, that's like an aircraft carrier. You cannot turn an aircraft carrier like you turn a speedboat. You'll roll it over. So what we're suggesting is slow and steady in an investment in a 30-year time horizon wins the day. Any investment manager you go to, they'll tell you, invest for the long haul. Don't do this fits and starts. Yet every time we see a new legislature, they come in, well, we have ideas. We're going to do this reform. That's why we're proposing a change in basically direction. And that change in direction, we think, is very much strong supported by the public. And that is firefighters and police officers. Work them longer and older. Take a little bit less of a benefit. Instead of averaging over 3 years, average over five. And then have the new worker pay more for it, 2%. That's going to bring more money in the system. We think that provides the predictability and cost that employers want with the maintenance of a core value. And that core value is what is a pension going to look like for that public worker 30 and 40 years from now? And what is the cost going to be for the taxpayer? We think it's fair, it's consistent with law, and we think it'll provide good quality police officers, firefighters, teachers, and state employees in the state of New Hampshire.
All right, 742-1270, toll-free, 1-888-441 if you'd like to join us. It's WTSN's Open Mic. I'm Mike Pomp, our guest Dave Lang, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, and you are next on WTSN. Welcome, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question for your guest. I've been trying to understand how this retirement pension plan works in New Hampshire, and I have a scenario, and I just wonder if I could run it by him and tell me if this is an accurate scenario or not. If I'm a firefighter, I'm starting out at 25 years old. I'm 42 now, so I have 17 years of service. I know I want to retire at 45. So my last 3 years that I'm working, I work a lot of overtime. I do a lot of detail work. And I bumped my salary. Say I was making $50,000. My annual salary was $50,000 when I was 42. Now the last 3 years, I've worked all this overtime. Perhaps I've got a raise in rank. So now maybe I'm making $80,000 for the final 3 years. But my retirement at 45 is going to be based on 50% of my previous 3 years, my high 3 years. So that means my retirement is going to be based on $80,000 a year. Is that correct?
Well, it makes some assumptions, and it's a great rumor that's floating around the state of New Hampshire.
That's not true, then.
What is true is that we do average the income over a three-year period. So you take the
three years,
your highest 3 years, and divide them by 36 months, and then you would apply the 2.5%. So in the case that you've laid out, it would be 50% of that. So if the highest 3 years averaged to $80,000, then that would be a $40,000 pension. The average pensioner right now for a police officer or firefighter is in the mid $30,000 year range, and they don't get Social Security. When you make the representation...
They haven't paid into Social Security either.
That's correct. We did not.
So you didn't pay in, so you don't get anything out, obviously.
That's correct. But in the private sector, there's kind of a three-legged stool for retirement security. There's, if you have a 401k, you have a savings account, and then you have Social Security, which builds that three-legged kind of retirement security stool. In the public sector, on the police and fire side, there's a two-legged stool, which that it would be the savings that you have and then your pension.
Okay, what is the third leg with the private sector? I understand the 401k, which the employee contributes to. possibly getting a match from the company, possibly not in the private sector. I think it's way more common nowadays not to have a match from the private sector. Then the other one, the other leg was the Social Security, which the employee also pays into. So there's two legs. What's the third leg?
The third leg would be your savings, whatever you're able to save through your lifetime.
Right, so that's what you put in yourself, too.
That's correct. And in this case here...
Basically, your private retirement now is basically employee-funded. There's no defined benefit plan in any of those three legs.
If your employer in the private sector didn't offer those. Now, interestingly, some of the major corporations across the country still offer a defined benefit plan. I mean, let's look at...
Very few. I would beg to differ with you on any amounts on that, because I've looked into it, and it's very, very rare to find that nowadays, especially within any of the top 500 Fortune 500 companies.
I would direct your attention to a website that calls ncpers.org, which is ncpers.org, and in that they outline some of the retirement security in the private sector, specifically with the Fortune 500 companies. I mean, if you look just here locally in at the Exeter Hospital, they have a defined benefit plan for their workers at the Exeter Hospital. So there are a lot of private sector, or you know, in that case, it's a not-for-profit situation, but they do offer a defined benefit plan.
All right, caller.
Well, not quite. If I have another moment. Because one thing I've been hearing from a lot of the public employees, as firemen, policemen, is the fact that they have contributed over the years to their plan. And I understand that. I forgot what the percentage was in New Hampshire. 7.5, does that sound correct?
It's 9.3, sir.
9.3, okay, 9.3%. But that 9.3 was contributed, after the scenario I gave you, he contributed that at his $50,000 salary. It only contributed at the highest salary for the high 3 years that he worked. But he's going to take advantage of that when he retires.
And that's where I beg to differ with you, because there's no advantage taken. Matter of fact, the retirement system makes some assumptions.
He's only paid a higher rate for 3 years, but you're going to collect for, at the case of a 45-year-old, he's got 34 years lifespan. He's going to be collecting at 34 years for only the high 3 years that he's worked.
See, this is why I like doing the open mic show, because your callers are very good.
Yeah, me too.
You're making an assumption and a representation that happens. I'm suggesting to you that does not happen the way that you...
I can show you a true-case scenario within Rochester and Dover where that's happened within the last 9 months.
In Rochester specifically, I know that they're reducing overtime and they're considering closing the Gonick Fire Station at some times. I've been reading that in the newspaper and been well aware of that. So with respect to the overtime itself... there's an assumption that everybody pads their last 3 years to make it their highest 3 years. Let me just give you the assumptions that the retirement system takes into consideration from the moment you come on the job, that you're going to have a 4.5% salary growth annually over the lifetime of your career. They make that assumption. The other assumption that they make is that your pay is going to go up over 3.5% annually for cost of living. So those assumptions are all recognized in the rates that are being paid on both sides, on the employer and the employee. We like to say that the overtime and the end of career buyouts and those things are baked into the rates that are paid for an employee's career. In here's a factual scenario. In a 20-year period, from 1987 to 2007, the employers in the state of New Hampshire paid 17% of the freight on this defined benefit plan for the whole system. The employees paid 19%. The system, through return on investments, earned 64%. So using the power of investing, in the equity market scenario, in businesses, we've been able to maximize and lower the employer contribution, where the national average is about 25% of payroll over the career of an employee on a defined benefit plan.
All right, Colin.
Final 3 years, am I saying, like, when I look at the salaries that are listed in the paper, or the public record salaries that are listed, and I see let's take an example in the local area, a police lieutenant who's making $72,000 a year salary, but then I look at the last 2 years and he's made over $100,000 a year. That's not accurate that he's padding that to bring up his retirement?
Well, I wouldn't use the word padding. I would use the word providing a service, and I got to tell you, there's one way to get out from under that, and that's to hire more police officers. If you want to have more police officers on the street, we think that's an effective way to provide public safety. If a police officer calls in sick or is on vacation, it takes another police officer to come in and do that job. They have not invented a computer program yet that can respond to someone's house with someone being held at knife or at gunpoint that's going to effectively take care of that situation. You need police officers to do that work. So there's a benefit for the community to pay overtime as opposed to hire extra people because of the benefit costs that are associated with it.
All right, caller, we do have to take a break. Thank you for your call and your good questions and stuff. It's 11:39 on WTSN. If you'd like to join us, 742-1270, toll-free, 1-888-441-WTSN. Do you sense, I mean, for those of us who don't understand a lot of what's happening with the retirement system in New Hampshire, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of debate about it. Is the retirement system now the way it is right now? Forget about this Bill SB 3. Is it stable right now? Do you